We're going to be in John chapter 13. Before we do that, we're going to take our offering, and I'm just going to kind of begin the sermon as the offering is being taken. So if the ushers could prepare for the receiving of the offering. It's good to see the Brock family all together in the back. God is good. Would you prepare for the offering? And just want to praise the Lord for the ways He's using each of you to build this church to what He wants it to be. It's never going to, Lord willing, it'll never be about us, but about Him. We want to keep Him at the center of it all. I'm going to invite the ushers to come forward. As the offering is taken, if you're a guest with us, you could fill out that. If you haven't done already, there's a connection card there in the bulletin. If you want to put a prayer request down, but you're not going to have enough time by the time the offering gets to you, just hold on to that connection card, fill it out, and then when you finish service, there's a black box near each of the doors, and you put your connection card in there. And just a way for us to be praying for one another. Let us know how to be praying. So please feel free to take advantage of that. Lord, we ask that you bless this offering and that the word of God would be powerful to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, amen. Ushers, if you'd collect the offering this morning. God is good. We are in a season of harvest, we believe, as we choose to be obedient to God. We are in a season of praying seven simple words every day. We're asking everybody to pray seven words every day at 7:14 a.m. and 7:14 p.m. The words are, bend me, use us, glorify your name. We base that off of 2 Chronicles 7:14, and I've had the joy, I'm seeing some of your faces, and some of you have texted me during the week and just shared even just simple testimonies of what God's been doing is you've been just with an honest heart, just been praying that prayer. We want to make Jesus the center of every day and of every moment. We're not interested in being religiously impressive. We're not interested in who else knows about it. We just want to honor the Lord and give back to Him what He's given to us. He's given us everything. We want to make Him the center. We have outlined, and you saw it on the front of your bulletin, that to make Jesus the center, the first thing we do is we worship faithfully. That's kind of different than what you hear most days. You hear just believe, and believing is part of it. But, you know, people can mentally believe something but have no relationship, no love, no connection. So what we say at Cornerstone is don't just believe in Jesus every day, worship Jesus every day. That's really what it feels like to live in the Spirit every day. It feels like you're just worshiping every day in some way. Sometimes it's with a song, but sometimes it's just in the simple choices you make. It's not all music that worship is about. It's about putting Him first. This second priority that we want to live out every day is to love biblically, which is very different from what the world says. The world says, well, just love. But we say, no, the Bible says there's a specific way to do that. You know, if you've ever come on a Sunday morning and you've had a good church service, and you kind of felt like something real happened to you, but then you walked out, and by the time you got to Sunday night, you felt a million miles away from God. You know, one of the major reasons that happens is because we fail to do this second priority. We fail to love biblically. We'll talk about how Jesus said to remain in His love is to remain in His commands. So what will happen is we can have a powerful Sunday morning and God can speak to our heart. But then we go out and we try to live a bunch of relationships and they come at us fast and furious a lot of times without us realizing how it's affecting us. And they come and before the same day that you worship the Lord is finished, you feel very distant and not in His love anymore because the relationships around you have pulled you and moved you without you even realizing it, and you have based and responded in your relationship not according to the Word of God but by emotions, by pleasing that person, by just getting past that, by being annoyed and forget it, I'm not talking to you. And all of a sudden, the very real thing that God did Sunday morning is lost by Sunday night. because we have not remained in His love by not just loving how we think it should be, but loving how the Word of God says it should be. When we love by the Word of God, it goes beyond just an emotion and just, well, you know, if everybody treats me right, I'll stay close to God. But the minute everybody around me starts to have a bad attitude, I'll lose my salvation again. That changes when I begin to love according to the Word of God. And you know what? Even when people's bad attitudes are around me, I can actually increase my worship because I'm sensing the difference between the spirit of the world and I'm actually reinforcing the Spirit of God in me. And some of my best worship may actually happen Sunday night after all those people really annoyed me. I don't know how you connect the annoying with worship, but we'll get there. You know, the Bible says that there is a way to love. And a lot of loosey-goosey Christianity, kind of like pop Christianity, pop culture Christianity, it's all about, well, just love God and love people. Now, that's not wrong. But you need to understand that to say the word love and not put anything around it is pretty sketchy. Because the world has a lot of versions of love. And what if you decide, yeah, you know what, I'm just going to love people and love God, and I'll just choose whatever the world says love in, and I'll try that way. That's not going to go well for you. You know, we have to choose what is the one model we're going to base what we think love is about. And we could look around and see a lot of models. I mean, who doesn't love RG3 right now? You know, there are a lot of people. Okay, maybe some people don't. You're not, yeah. But, you know, there's a sense of, God, I just love that guy. And, you know, it's like, okay, you know, is that the model? Is that, you know, is that kind of how informs how we love everybody in all our relationships? Probably not. You know, in the last 10 years, tweens and teens and a few other people who will not have done it in secret have poured in $2.3 billion to watch Eternal Love, Twilight. You know, and for 10 years, we've just seen just such an eternal love, you know, and it's just, that's love, that's how I'm going to treat, you know, that's, boy, that's the real thing. Well, probably not. You know, sans the whole vampire angle, you know. We're just in a season where 10 of the 50 states in our nation say that if a man loves a man, then that's marriage. I mean, that's what some of our government now affirms is love. Are you going to take that model? You know, I was thinking I was going to do this part by showing pictures of, like, oh, here's a picture of RG3, and, you know, and so I was Googling images, and I got to gay marriage and put it in and put my, you know, safe filter on just to make sure it was going to be okay. And it just broke my heart, all the images. You know, two women with the sign saying, why can't I love who I want? You know, another picture of two men with a sign in the middle of a pro-gay parade saying, what does my marriage have to do with you? And just over and over pictures of people just saying, why don't you love me? You know? There's a great picture of Will Smith saying, hey, I think if two people love each other and really want to take care of each other, then I think that's great. You know, and just smiley, shiny Will Smith, you know, just giving it the thumbs up. And the question is that your model? What do you think about that? I mean, the world, our nation, is having a pretty big debate right now about what they think love is. And it may be only 10 states out of 50 that say, well, to love is to have two people of the same gender be able to have sexual relationship and to call it marriage. But, you know, while it's only 10 states, you know, if you just saw the news about Lou Giglio, the pastor who has just withdrawn his invitation to pray a prayer at the inaugural blessing because he supports the biblical definition of marriage, and he got so much heat about it, he withdrew from the national stage to even pray, because it's not acceptable for someone on the national stage to say, I don't think that's love. What's your definition? You're going to have to figure it out. What are you going to look to? How are you going to decide if that's right or not? So a lot of that, you know, I saw a lot of pictures of two just really nice-looking people who seemed terrific. You know? So what are you going to do about that? What's your definition? What are you going to base your picture of love on? You know, the Bible's clear. God loves faithful friendship. He loves two people of the same gender that love each other and are faithful. But the Bible is very clear that should never enter into a sexual relationship. That that's not marriage. It's not. There's not gay marriage and other marriage. It's just marriage, what God defined. And that's not being prejudiced, and it's being very humble and careful about how you interact, because people's stories have reasons for why they believe what they believe. And we need to be sensitive to those. We need to be caring and be willing to go the extra mile. But what are you going to do with that picture? Are you going to say it's right because a lot of people do? What is a complete picture of love that you can say, you know, I can trust this picture no matter what I see, no matter who I talk to, no matter what I do? Is there such a picture that I could say that is an unfailing picture of love? And the Bible says absolutely yes, there's that picture. That's why I've got you turned to John 13. John 13, verse 1. Begins what is known as the farewell discourse of Jesus. It begins four chapters where all Jesus does is prepare his disciples for his crucifixion. It begins with this. John 13, verse 1. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and could go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The Bible is giving you this huge heads up. Pay attention. In these next four chapters is a complete picture of what love is supposed to be. And if you have any doubt, if you have any need of a standard, if you want to understand what love looks like and what doesn't, how it is different sometimes from pleasing the people around you, but still loving them into God's best, here it is. Here's the full picture. In these four chapters, there are 153 verses, and one out of every eight of those verses has the word love in it. Jesus talks about love constantly as he's about to leave his disciples and go back to the Father. In that same 153 verses, one out of every 11 verses is the word truth. Truth, truth, truth. One out of every five verses has a word that refers to the Scripture. Either commandments, teachings, my word, the commandments. Jesus, in 153 verses, in what is the full extent of God's love, connects love with living in the truth of God's word. He says, if you want a full picture of God's love, you have to connect it to God's word. There is no such thing as loving someone outside the Word of God. It's not love. He says the verses in John 15, if you'll turn there. John 15, verse 10. It's the verse that is, it's on your outline, actually. And it's also in our connection center as we describe our four priorities. Jesus says these words. And I want you to listen for love, truth, commands, teaching. I mean, listen how this represents what he does in four chapters constantly. As the most important things he says at the end of his life. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than he lay his life down for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. You know, in this passage, we see the model of love, the measure of love, and the mission of love. It's those three blanks there. I'm going to say them again if you've missed them. But Jesus says, look, let me show you what is biblical love, what truly builds people up, what lasts, what brings life and healing. The first is our model of love should be Jesus. Our model of love should be Jesus. Verse 11 says, my command is this, love each other how? What's the next few words? It's right there on your sheet. Verse 11, my command is this, love each other as what? I have loved you. Don't love how the world's loved. Don't love how pop Christianity or the prevailing culture. No, the way I'm telling you to love is I'm the model. What you see me do, that's how to love. That's the true model of love. And you know what? What we find in Christ's life is really there is no relationship in any time, in any circumstance, in any culture where Jesus is not the model. Well, Pastor Sean, how can Jesus, a single man, be the model for how I should love in the marriage? Well, Ephesians 5:25 tells me that husbands, you should love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. He is the model for marriage. You know, we live in a world where marriage is a joke to most of media. I mean, if you want to have a strong, healthy love life, then don't be married. You know, but once you're married, then that's just all dull and boring and, you know, all negative. And that's a version of what the world says love needs and how it acts and the dynamics of it. But the gift of love in marriage is the most amazing gift of all, but it's not going to work if you do it anyway outside the Word of God. Not going to work. If you try to do it self-centered, if you try to do it through your emotional niceness, if you try to decide when you're going to love and when you're not going to love, when you're going to decide how important or more important your career is, and that's not going to love. Your marriage is going to be a burden to you if you don't do it according to God's Word. And so many people, they're like, well, that wasn't for me, or that person wasn't meant for me. It's like, no, that's not the issue. The issue is you're not doing it according to God's Word. And it only works then. We're going to do, you'll see the note in your outline, we're going to do a marriage conference February 8th and 9th. And we've called it The Marriage You've Always Wanted Plus a Flat Screen TV. Because there really is a marriage in there that you can experience. That is, even, you know, the guys, for the guy, for the lady, there really is a marriage you've always wanted. It's there, but you're only going to find it through God's Word. And of course, we know that we tend to, you know, the ladies might tend to be a little bit more readily acceptable of, let's talk about our you know, we were tossing about ideas for the marriage conference, and it was like, eternal love affair. Or, you know, I'm like, no, not for the guys. This has got to be that they know somewhere in there they can have the marriage they've always wanted plus a flat screen TV. Just, you know, and what I'm saying is, you know, for some people in the marriage, you know, what's one of the biggest beefs? It's like, you're always watching TV. It's like, you know what? If you did the marriage right, your spouse might actually enjoy sitting down with you and watching TV. You know? That might actually be the plus in it. But when you don't do it right, then it's just the complaint. Why are you always watching TV? So we're just going to take a conference, and I really want to encourage every couple. Guys, I want you to lead the way. Don't wait for your wives to ask you. Be the leaders. You know, say, hey, we're going to go to this. We're giving away a flat screen TV. We're giving away Virginia Tech tickets. We're trying to sweeten the deal as best as we can. All right? And I want to encourage you guys, invest. Be the leader. It's the model. Learn the model. You know what? 24/7, the world's bombarding you with a different model. Make the investment to keep the model the right way in front of you. Second is, the measure of love is what? It's God's Word. It's God's Word. Jesus constantly says, if you love me, you will obey my commands. Well, you know, I really love God because on Sunday I'm just kind of built to have a super emotional experience, and there's nothing wrong with that. And then I go out and I disregard God all week long, but I love him. Well, no, the Bible says you don't. You want to measure the extent of your love? How well are you keeping his commands? That's the measure of real love. Well, you don't understand, man. I give a big offering for Advent offering. I love them a lot. Now, that's part of the commands of God, so good for you. But how you treating so-and-so in your family, or what are you doing to honor God with your life on a daily basis? Now, it's interesting as a pastor who really actually loves you, you know, and cares for you, and I don't know all of you that well, but I really pray that the Lord gives me sincere love and authentic care for each of you. And sometimes it's tough for me to talk about sin, not because I don't love talking about the chance to get closer to Jesus, praise to God for repentance. But people live in so much condemnation that to bring up repentance really means, yeah, that's right, I'm awful. You know, let's just remember how, you know, I'm just a sinner and that's all I'll ever be. It's like, well, in Jesus, you're a saint. You're both. And I want to encourage you that to repent, to be a person who acknowledges their sin, it's a joyful thing. You know, Jesus says that you can repent unto times of repentance. They have times of refreshing through repentance. I don't repent because, you know, let's just focus on how bad I am and how I never do anything right. Let me just feed all my issues of growing up and how I was never, you know, I'm not doing that. It's like, God, I love you and your grace is great. And as I sang that song about, I can come boldly before your throne. Why? Because you've paid the price. And it's a joy for me to say, Lord, would you forgive me for this being in the way? I want to get it out of the way because I want to move that much closer to you. God, you're my measure. And if my measuring stick says I'm a little off, if that word of God says, you know what? The Bible says, you know, that I should love my enemies, but man, I got a rotten attitude. You know, I need to see that and connect with God. How much am I willing to press into you and say, Lord, I love you. I trust you. Teach me how to do this right. I repent. You know, love is measured by the word of God. How do I measure love for those in my church? Well, hey, I show up. You know, hey, I'm here. You know, that's not, well, you know, the Bible, the measure of how I love people at church is Hebrews 10:25. It says, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching. I mean, I really do celebrate. I just, you know, I see a number of our life group leaders here and just thank you for being you. Thanks for doing what you're doing because we want to be a place. I want to encourage you, if you haven't done a life group yet, come next week. Don't give up the habit of meeting together. And let God work something new, the use us part of the prayer. And then the last part, what is the mission of true love? The mission of true love is for people to live in God's truth. For people to live in God's truth. That's the goal. That's the mission of love. Have you loved somebody well? Are you loving them well? Are you? What's the purpose of your love? It should be that they are becoming more and more a life that's more and more in the Word of God. It's like, yeah, that's it. That's why, you know, even, and I'm not trying to get on a, you know, let's just talk about what's wrong in the world. But that's why, you know, you talk about the issue of how do I talk with those who live the homosexual lifestyle. You know, if I really love them, I'll just kind of like, no, that's not love. Your love for them is, I want you to live according to the Word of God. Now, I'm going to have to be really humble. I got to be really careful about pride or about my own attitudes. I need to listen and not just talk. All those things. But to love a person is say, I love you enough to not want you to be outside of God's truth. It's just how much I care. And I might even care enough that you really don't like me. Now I'm going to make sure it's not my personality or, you know, I was reading a few articles over the week and, you know, I love these Christians who try to start out with, we just need to understand that, you know, God said it and then someone rebuts them. You know, on, you know, like through a blog or something. And then they finally resort to, well, you just have a demon and you need to, it's like, oh, come on. You know, that's really great. That's really going to help us out a ton. You know, that is so lazy spiritually. It's so lazy to go to that. It's like, why don't you listen and dialogue and stick real close to the Word of God, but hear a person's heart? Because that's just lazy. That's all that is. Okay, I'm sorry. I want you to listen to John 17:4-6. Listen to what Jesus said about what he finished. This is part of the farewell discourse. It's right as Jesus is talking about his prayer for the disciples. John 17:4-6. Listen to this. Father, I have brought you glory on earth by what? Completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. Now listen to verse 6. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and listen, and they have obeyed your word. You know, we never turn off love. We never stop loving. But you know, in my life, for my kids, for people I care about, for a person God draws me to, you know what I figure out if I've got the right amount of love working in them? how much are they following the Word of God? You know, if they've got a ways to go, I'm not loving enough. Now, it doesn't mean, in the end, they've got to make their choice. I mean, I can't make them do the right thing, and I don't want to be controlling or judgmental and hurt my own cause. But when I see someone that's struggling with the Word of God, and I'm saying, you know, my mission is for them to walk in the truth of God, I need to love a little bit more. This week, I told the first service, we were in the week of prayer. I mean, I prayed more this week corporately than I've probably prayed in the last 6 months combined. I mean, I was praying all the time. I mean, how spiritual was I? You know, Monday night, we were here at prayer meeting, and thank you for all of you who made the sacrifice to be here. And I started off sitting next to my wife, Sarah, and I came up, and I came back, and my wife's gone. I'm like, she has backslidden and run away from God in the middle of prayer service. That's awful. Just, well, what had happened was our little guy, Caleb, was just a little off course, and Mom had to go take care of that. And I talked to Sarah afterwards, and I said, you know, here we are in the middle of prayer meeting, all this great stuff, and, you know, my son's just, he's a little out of whack, just not quite, you know, some things creeping in there that, you know, praise the Lord for school and everything he learns there. And I decided to do at the end of that? I was like, you know, I should go reprimand him or follow the Word of God, or, you know, I'm going to go pray for more. Now, you know what I did? I made a commitment that every loose second I had that week, I was going to spend with him. Because I need to love, you know, my mission was not work going well. He was falling a little out of line, and he was having a little tough time. So, you know, I could just reprimand him, rebuke him, or pray a demon out of him. Sorry. Sorry, that's a little too much Sean coming through. Or I could just get in there and keep the commands of God, because Deuteronomy 6 tells me that I'm to impress the laws of God upon my children. I'm supposed to talk about them around the table. I'm supposed to remind them of them as we walk. And you know what I was seeing? I was seeing my son getting a little out of line with the Word of God. And I was like, I need to do my job better. My mission's not done. I need to press in a little bit more. And you know what? I mean, this was a bad week to, like, have bunches of time. I mean, I had a prayer meeting every night, and, you know, lots of stuff going on. And you know what? But, man, I did it. You know, I just pressed on in. It's amazing what a little attention does. And, you know, and I did a lot of stuff I didn't even care, really enjoy doing. You know? But it was great. Because the mission of love, is that those we care about are walking in the Word of God. So I'm going to do that. You'll notice there in your notes that the prayer journals I mentioned are in, and today's the first day. And what are we praying in 2 Chronicles 7:14? We're praying, Lord, let another person come to the place where they're living in your truth, because that's where they're going to be blessed. I want blessing for them. You know, if you don't have the prayer journal, we're just asking you, 7:14 a.m. and p.m., pray, bend me, use us, glorify your name. Keep praying it. Keep pressing in. Now, so I just want to summarize that point. The model of love is what? The living Word. The measure of love is what? The written Word. And the mission of love is the Word lived out. The Word made flesh. I mean, that's love. That's biblical love. It centers all around Jesus. And when I need to learn how to love, I can press into my model. I know how to measure it, and I know when I've accomplished it. I mean, it's actually that clear cut. Wow, look at that. It's not just all emotionally feely-wheely. Okay, that was enough. I don't know where I got wheely from. But all right, so let's look at this prayer. Bend me, use us, glorify your name. I want to kind of bring it home by saying this prayer that you're praying every day. Bend me to obey your word. When you pray bend me this week, ask God to show you scriptures. Ask God to remind you, not the condemnation thing, the conviction thing. God, I can be a little closer. You know what? Today, I've been a little, you know what? I kind of fudged that, didn't I? I kind of said what everybody wanted to hear, but that wasn't actually true. You know? That was actually what we call a lie. Okay? I need to learn to do that right now. Lord, forgive me. Let me obey your word and speak truthfully to my neighbor. Okay? As I do that, you know, in John 14:23, and we could go all over the farewell discourse, But in John 14:23, Jesus said this, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching." And then notice what the end result is. "My Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching." You know, to love God is to follow after his word. I want to share one more passage from the farewell discourse. It's right at the end. It's John 17. It's at 15 through 19. And especially as parents, but I think as Christians, I want you to hear this. Because this one, the Lord really spoke to me powerfully a few years ago, and I've tried to use it as a rule of my life in parenting. Jesus says this, talking about the disciples. He said, "My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them." Listen to verse 17. "Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth." Real quick stop. You know, whether you decide to homeschool, private school, or public school, that's up to you and God's story in your life. None of them are the wrong answer. Okay? But you need to hear that what Jesus says keeps people separated from the influences of the world is God's word. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. You can stick them in private school, you can stick them in your living room, and you can stick them in a hole, but they are not going to be protected from the influence of the world until the word of God separates them from the influence of the world. All of those options except the stick them in a hole, okay, are viable parenting options. But just remember that it's giving the word of God some way to them that will make the ultimate difference. And I love what it says next. It says, "As you have sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world." And listen to verse 19. This blew me away. "For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified." Do you hear what Jesus is saying? He's saying, in order for them to be sanctified, I've got to be sanctified. Lord, I am willing to bend so that they will know how to bend. What I just want to say to all of us in this room is it is a good thing to pray for your children. Don't stop doing it. Pray that they be protected. But if you are allowing secret sin in your own life, you're fighting against your own prayers. Jesus said, "I set myself away from the world so that they would be able to set themselves apart as well." I want to encourage you, don't let condemnation come, but get a zeal to know that God wants to love you and know you and for you to experience his love more. And would this be a new season of saying, "God, you know, I've kind of said, well, since nobody knows, it's okay." The truth is, spiritually, everybody knows. And allow God to begin to show you a grace to walk in greater holiness. I tell you what, that's one of the things that keeps me straight with my kids. And it's not that I'm perfect. I've got my share of repenting to do. But when I think of, Lord, if I want them to be set apart, I've got to fight the fight to be set apart too. I'm fighting my own cause when I'm not. I'm fighting against my own cause when I'm not. I want to encourage you, men, women, together, let God speak to your heart about that. Second, use us. Use us to share your word. Not just to obey your word. Bend me to obey your word. Now, God, use us to share your word. I want you to notice real quick a few scriptures in the farewell discourse. Notice if you see a pattern in them. John 14:29. "I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe." John 15:11. "I have told you this so that your joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." John 16:1. "All this I have told you so that you will not go astray." John 16:4. "I have told you this so that when the time comes, you will remember that I warned you." John 16:33. "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace." Anybody see a pattern there? Jesus sharing the word ahead of time in people's lives so that when they'll be ready. Parents, share the word of God with your kids so that co-worker, share, you know, I'm going to share something that I've done very specifically in that regard. But, you know, I can't tell you how many times, you know, I'm not a prophet, I'm not some big power evangelist, but I can't tell you how many times somebody who's just a coworker or a volunteer or someone on one of my kids' softball teams or soccer team, and I'll be like, you know what, hey, and you won't be talking, and they'll kind of, you know, show that there's a sense of openness, and I'll just be like, you know, and not necessarily God, just openness and relationship, and I'll just say, hey, by the way, you know, I was praying for you, and there's this scripture, da-da-da-da-da, I just wanted to share it with you, I felt like it was for you today. I can't tell you how many times people have come back and said, man, you know what, when you even said that scripture, I didn't know what it meant, and then the next day, such and such happened to me, and I remember what you said. You know, you and I can be used, say, use us to share your word. I had a pastor one time say, Sean, a pastor who had been pastoring for a lot of years, said, Sean, there's one question your congregation, even if they don't know it, is always asking from you every time you get up on Sunday morning. I said, what is that? He said, your congregation wants to know, do you have a word from the Lord for us? That's what they want to know. Every Sunday, that's what they're hungry for. Sean, if you don't got a word of God, don't get up there. If you, I'm not talking about read a scripture and say whatever. I'm saying God said that scripture is for you today. I never come up here and not think that. You know, I was talking to someone else, and we were talking about how a child was just struggling with an area, and someone gave him a scripture, and it literally changed. It was like, you know, it wasn't even that impressive, but it's just something changed. Well, it's the sword of the Spirit. You want to get a burden off of somebody? Cut it off. You know, and it's not going to go with your attaboys. That's there's no spiritual sword there, okay? It's the Word of God that cuts those things. Really simple stuff. I could share more, but I'm just going to go to the last one. Glorify your name so they see the Word made flesh. Glorify your name so they see the Word made flesh. So, Lord, bend me to obey your Word. Use us to share your Word. Glorify your name so that someone may discover your word, that may become real to them. It's that simple. That's loving people. You know, it's great to have spiritual authority with a really loud voice and because you pray real loud. It's better if you're actually keeping the word of God. You've actually got more spiritual authority then, so that when you then share it, there's a sense of unity. And then you know what? You just trust it to the Lord to do something in somebody's life. Say, God, may I share? Not so they say, you know that, Sean, he's okay, man. I appreciate that he cared about me. Well, that's nice. You know what I really want him to say is, you know what? I think God's talking to me. I think Jesus is calling out to me. Glorify your name, oh God, not mine. Now, I'm going to show you something. I'm going to beg your kind of, beg your just cooperation. I usually wouldn't show a video clip this long that I'm about to show just to finish up. I feel like it's important for us as a congregation to see, and I'm a little hesitant because I'm in the center of the video that you're about to see, and I'm really, that's a little uncomfortable, but I feel like we're supposed to. I took everything I just said to you, and I felt like this past Wednesday night, God called me to live this out. The Lord had put on my heart to, you know, we've been praying that we'd discover a correct voice to our nation. And there's a lot to work through for that. And the Lord a few weeks ago said, well, Sean, you know, while you're waiting for the impossible job of speaking right to your nation or figuring out how you can impact them, why don't you do what's possible and go bless your board of supervisors? Why don't you go say that, hey, we're praying for you? And so that's what I did. And I invited about 15 members of our church to come and stand with me, Dick. And this is the video of that. This is during the public comment portion of our Board of Supervisors. I'm sorry it's a little long, but if you'll hang in there, you'll catch what I'm saying real quick. And notice everything that I've said in this sermon. See how it works in this moment. This year with a week of prayer. We begin each year asking God to bless us and to guide us, that he would not only bless us but our community. And as we have begun this week of prayer, we have chosen 2 Chronicles 7:14. It tells us to take responsibility to pray for our community and to have an active concern for the welfare of all the members of our community. It says this,
if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Based on this, we know that as responsible citizens in our county and also as dedicated disciples of Jesus Christ, we can do our part to bless and contribute to the care and the welfare of our county. And so as we begin 2013, I'm joined with a few members and represented by many others in signature, that we decided to come and to let you know that part of our week of prayer is to pray for you, to be thankful for your leadership, and to pray for God's wisdom and blessing in what you do, for we know the challenges of leadership, especially of a diverse and growing community. We know that you often get petitions that may be of frustration or need or desire, but we thought to begin the year, we would provide you with a different kind of petition. We have taken a petition of prayer and thanksgiving for each one of you. And I will in a moment submit to Madam Clerk our resolution for you that it has also over 150 signatures of citizens from our church that are in our county who have committed to pray for you and to be thankful for your leadership within our county. If I may take a moment, I would like to read the resolution, and as I do, I would like to recognize the members and the leadership of our church that have joined us, and I would just ask them to stand on behalf of the rest of our church for this blessing that we'd like to provide to you, if they would stand. As with your congregations and people, I'm sure you're very proud of the quality, and I as well, of our church. We have received resolutions of thanks from you, so in like manner, we are providing one and actually have a copy for each one of you. Petition of thanksgiving and prayer from the Chesterfield citizens of Cornerstone Assembly of God, 10551 Chalkley Road, Chester, Virginia. Recognizing, giving thanks, and praying for our county leadership. Whereas Cornerstone Assembly of God begins each year in prayer for God's blessings and will to be done in our families and in our community, and whereas 2 Timothy 3:1-2 tells us, remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, and to be ready to do what is ever good. Whereas Romans 13:4 tells us the authorities are God's servants sent for the good of the people. Whereas 1 Timothy 2 tells us, I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceable and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. And whereas in 2 Chronicles 7:14 it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now therefore, be it resolved on behalf of the Chesterfield citizens of Cornerstone Assembly of God, this 9th day of January 2013, the first meeting of Chesterfield Board of Supervisors for the new year, that we are praying in the name of Jesus Christ for the blessing, the wisdom, and encouragement of God for the Board of Supervisors, that they might honor God, His Word, and His heart of love and compassion towards all the people of our county. We would like to thank you for the integrity in which you serve, the diligence in difficult economic times that provide great challenges for you. We'd like to thank you for the genuine care that you provide our citizens and the respect and the honor that you hold both your position and the people of the county. And we do commit not only to pray, but in our ways that are appropriate, contribute to the well-being and to the peace, diversity, and the strength of not only our community, but those who are least able among us for their welfare. And we do pray that the spirit of this year, of your leadership, will be one of joy, that God will grant you great wisdom, and that individually you continue to seek God with all of your heart, and that you will know His wisdom. and that his peace and blessing will be upon your families. Thank you. Thank you.
I have a few board members that would like
the
to
board
say
of
some.
Supervisors stood and applauded
y'all can
us
be seated if
after
you'd
that.
Like to be. It's not my place, I guess, Pastor, but I think you may be aware, and certainly if you read the paper, what a tender time this is for many of us here in the county community. You know, as was mentioned at the beginning of this evening session, you know, we lost one of our own in a very violent and untimely manner. I think you probably also know that I am, I think, the only member of the board who is not of the Christian faith. I'm, you know, grew up and still am, you know, Jewish, in the Jewish traditions. But I want to sincerely thank you for coming here tonight. It means an awful lot to us.
He was all choked up.
I'd like to thank you also. I mean, it really warms all of our hearts to know that you're out there praying for us. Thank you.
What a wonderful way to start the new year with the hope and the encouragement and the prayers and the love of Jesus Christ. Thank you.
You know, it's citizens like you that make it worth serving. And I just hope that the media, if they're out there and they're listening, that they will capture this moment and somehow give it to the rest of the community on what you did and how much good there is in Chesterfield County. So thank you.
Again, I thank you as well. And thank you for all you do. You impacted us and profoundly enhanced our lives as a result of your being here and your saying so. Thank you all. God bless you as well.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen. That's it. Got it.
Thank you.
That was neat.
Item 7.
You know, we know there are a lot of times that when we have to talk to our leaders, it may be about confronting them about things that are not with the Word of God. And so we know that every time we speak to our leaders, it's not all positive responses. That's not why we do it. But it was amazing to simply, very clearly in Jesus' name, encourage them to seek God and to have His wisdom and honor His Word, but to speak a blessing, to use His Word. I got to read 4 scriptures to them. By the way, when I read 2 Chronicles 7:14, I read it exactly 7:14 p.m. Absolutely. It was amazing. I've gotten several communications from them since then. I have one supervisor said, you know, I've long since stopped putting things on my wall in my office, but I'm gonna take that resolution. I'm gonna frame it. I'm gonna put it on my wall because I want to remember the blessing that you guys gave us today. And there were several other comments that just expressed that several said, you know, out of all my years in the board, that was probably the most powerful moment that I've ever known there. And, you know, they weren't standing for me. They were standing in the presence of God at that moment. I mean, people who didn't even know Jesus were saying thanks. And again, we know it's not always going to be like that. There are times we have to confront and not please. And that wasn't done to please. I didn't think we were going to get any response. I just felt like we were supposed to do that. But I want to encourage you that the Word of God does not return void. And it is sharper than a two-edged sword. And it does accomplish what it's set out to do. And God's people have to pick it back up. And they've got to make it the center of their everyday life. It's got to become how you love. And it doesn't mean you have to go to grad school for the Bible. It just means every day you got to let it into your heart and choose to use it in some way. And if you do that, you'll discover Jesus at the center all the time, not just when you have a great worship moment. I want to ask just that you would stand, and I just want to take a moment of prayer, and we're out of time, so I'm just going to finish up with prayer. And I'm going to ask that you bow your heads and your hearts for a moment, and I want to begin with a very simple invitation. You know, if you're here and you're not living according to God's Word, if you haven't accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, than to love you this morning is to urge you to make a decision to make Jesus the center of your life. And you may have been to church, you may know religion, you know how altar calls go, but if you have not done that genuinely in your own heart, if He is not the center of your everyday, then I would urge you, out of love, to today ask forgiveness of your sins in a fresh way and say, Lord, be the center. Come and be my life. I made this invitation in first service, and a dad in the center row raised his hand. And all the way in this corner, right over here next to the piano, a young man, teenager, raised his hand, and they both accepted Christ. And I said, at the end of this, I'd like you to come up, and I'd like to pray with you. And they came up, only to discover that that's his dad and that's his son. And they came to Christ the same time. The teenager was like, is this like that I'm going to be punked show? Because I don't, you know. And it was an amazing moment of people saying, and all of a sudden, love in their family just grew. And I don't know who you are and what your situation, but I want to encourage you in this moment, if you would you just bow your head and let's just take a moment to ask the Lord. If you're here and you need to make that decision to commit to have Christ as the center of your life, especially if you've never done it this morning. If you're here, I'm just going to ask you to lift up your head and look at me and raise a hand so I know that you're not just looking, but that you're making a decision. Are you here this morning? You need to accept Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Are you here this morning? Just take a look at me and raise your hand. Anybody need to make that decision? Teenager? Grandparent? Anybody here needs to make that decision this service? I'm just going to ask you now for a rededication in your heart. If there are places that you need to keep God's commandments, if there's places, don't try to do it on your own and then come to Jesus. Come to Jesus and let Him do it through His Holy Spirit in you. You're not going to have to raise a hand. I'm just going to ask you right now where you are to just pray a prayer and mean it with all your heart. Say, God, come in. Cause me to keep Your word. Bend me. Bend me to how Your word says I should live. Take a moment. Pray it. Pray with all your heart. And Lord, I pray that You would use this people to share Your word, that others might come to see the word made flesh in their own life. Lord, just like You could come into a public local government meeting, and Lord, Your presence could be so felt by the end of it, Lord, we just ask that You would use us to share words, that maybe tomorrow, someday, a word that we share today will be used. We might not get a standing ovation. Maybe someone doesn't even understand why they gave it, but we'll have planted the seed for when it's ready. Make us a people that honor Your word, that keep it, that share it, and that live for other people to see it. Lord, we do these things remembering the prayer that You taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in Thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. And God, in this season of harvest, we add this simple 7-word prayer. We say, bend me, use us, glorify Your name. God be the glory. I'm going to invite the prayer ministers to come up front. Feel free to join with prayer. And may the Lord guide you as you keep, share, and see His Word made real in other people's lives. God bless you as you go.